everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have another great program for you today. Did you know that more than 65 million people, 29% of the U.S. population, provide care for a chronically ill, disabled, or older family member or friend? Well, caregiving requires sacrifice and commitment, and then it ends. So what happens next, and how do you restart your life afterwards? My guest today is Christopher McClellan. He's been a guest on the program before, by the way, and I know you've enjoyed and we've learned so much from him. He is affectionately known as the bow tie guy in the vast network of family caregivers. He is a caregiver advocate, speaker, and author of the book, What's the Deal with Caregiving, which provides its readers with real-life stories and what to do and what not to do while in the midst of caregiving. He also presents frequently on the topics of caregiving and life after caregiving ends. So if you want more information about Chris, his book, or his podcast, go to thewholecarenetwork.com. or thepurplejacket.com. So welcome to the program, Chris. Great to have you with us again today.
Oh, Dr. Terry, it's great to be with you again. I've been looking forward to our second visit. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely. And as I said, we learned so much from you the first time. I'm really looking forward to learning again and talking to you about life or restarting your life after caregiving ends. Now, Chris, before we get started with the topic, can you please remind listeners of your personal story or your journey of starting to care for your partner, Richard, and becoming an advocate for caregivers?
Well, I appreciate that opportunity. I always like to include Richard in our stories, but as your listeners might remember, we were fortunate enough to be featured in a 2015 Pulitzer Prize-nominated caregiving story entitled In Sickness and Health, A Couple's Final Journey. And, you know, the story, even though the story is now approaching 5 years old, it still resonates with people because it talked about love, care, and commitment. And that, when you get right down to, I think, everything in life, Dr. Terry, as you know, it really does center around love, care, and commitment. And from that experience in caring for Richard when he was actually first diagnosed with esophagus cancer in 2011, that's kind of how I have morphed into what I'd like to say a caregiver advocate, sharing our stories, because I think it's through story sharing where diversity meets the road to combat a common cause. And our, you know, our common cause is caregiving. And when we can share our stories and touch people in a very special way, we all have an opportunity to grow some really valuable information, especially for caregivers, because as I might have mentioned before, I've not met one caregiver that's had caregiving on their bucket list of things to do in life. Nobody's really prepared for this enormous yet very meaningful role in life. And suddenly you're a caregiver and then it ends. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Right. And then we really appreciate you continuing to share your story, because as you said, the stories are so important and they give meaning to others as well as the person sharing the story. And I remember it being so meaningful and really influencing you then to write the book, What's the Deal with Caregiving? So I know that we're starting today talking then about how to restart your life after caregiving ends. So Chris, those are your words, how to restart life. And I'm sure listeners are wondering, why do you use the word, or you say restart life?
Well, I think as I've been pondering this this part of my this transition in my life, restarting, I think I have to come back to my whole caregiving experience, and as I look back and I say, we have to early on accept our new normal. What is our, you know, caregiving really changes lives. It changes obviously the care partner, that would be me, and the person, the care receiver would have been Richard. That, you know, that thing, that cancer that comes on, you know, that what is our new normal when something like that happens? You know, we go back to the way things are, but when we have a diagnosis like that, like this, like millions of people have over the country, across the world, what is our new normal and how do we accept it? You know, for me, it took quite a bit of time to accept the new normal. You know, Richard wasn't going to get better. My life had changed as well, especially once he made his life transition. You know, what do you do? That relationship that was there is no longer there. And oftentimes in caregiving, and it's this, it just seems to happen that your contacts change, your friends change, you lose so much of your socialization while you're in the midst of caregiving. And then once it ends, what are you to do? Relationships are different. It kind of comes back to that thing.
Right. And are you saying also, Richard, that you can't just go back to what life was before caregiving? Is that what you're saying?
That's kind of what I'm saying. It's accepting your new normal. And for each person, it's going to be a little bit different, you know, because caregiving changes lives. And it's while it's different for everyone, as everybody's story is a little bit different, we all learn from those experiences, and we move forward. We create that new normal for us and empower ourselves to take better care of ourselves and create that life after caregiving ends that leads us on a path of peace and joy and positive reflection of an experience that was very meaningful.
And I know, Rich, Chris, that I was going to call you Richard, which because we've been talking about him, which I'm sure you're okay about, right?
Oh, very much so. Yes.
Yeah. But Chris, I know that we talked a little bit before we started the program, and you stated that after caregiving ends, it's just as difficult as the experience of caregiving itself. And I'm sure that's hard for listeners to hear, especially if they're in the process of caregiving right now. So help us understand what that means.
Well, there's two very common aspects to caregiving that everybody experiences. There's a beginning, and then there's an ending. And in both of these experiences, we're really not prepared for it. And once caregiving ends, especially if you're caring for a spouse or a partner, you know, that relationship that was there is gone. And, you know, what are you to do? And, you know, it was hard for me because I readily admit I wallowed in my grief. Grief impacted many, if not most, of my emotional, physical, spiritual, and financial decisions for a while after Richard made his life transition. And it, again, it comes back to, you know, what changed in life. Well, he got sick. He died. You're left on this winding road, trying to find your own path without the person that meant the most to you in your life. And how do you adjust to that? What is your new normal?
Right.
And it takes a while to find that path.
Right. And it's challenging. It's very challenging because you're dealing with two areas of your life. First, not having a romantic partner again, or just not having a romantic partner, and then trying to turn internally to figure out what you should do next. So give us some ideas of how do people start living again? What are some strategies? Where should someone even begin?
Well, I think one of the first areas, again, everybody's going to be different, is to reach out to like-minded people, caregivers who have been through the experience. Mm-hmm. Talk to a caregiver that is dealing with loss. Find the solutions that they have gone through in their lives to help make them make their life after caregiving a little bit more peaceful. You know, again, it's funny how it all comes back to this. When we can share our stories openly, without fear of being criticized, there's healing and growth on both parts. There's healing from the person who is sharing the story, and there's growth from the person who is receiving the story, because that's really the best resources. It's, again, I, you know, for me, it was reaching out to folks, being able to listen, to observe, and kind of get back into some of the things that I used to like to do: rollerblading, ice skating, bowling, visiting with, you know, reconnecting with old friends. Because when you're in the midst of caregiving, a lot of those things go away. They've gone by the wayside because you're so intent on caring for somebody else, you forget to care for yourself. And that's what life after caregiving is really all about: caring for yourself.
Okay, Chris, if I had to repeat what you're saying, then the first really good strategy is to talk to other caregivers or caregivers who have also restarted their life and share your story with them, and then have them share their story with you. We know, by the way, that studies show that when we do share stories with others, that we share meaning and we're better able to cope, and that leads to better personal and individual well-being. So that's a wonderful strategy for listeners to know. And then second, you said you want to do activities that you would like to do, that you were doing before the caregiving started, whether that is a group activity or even connecting with friends and family members again. So those are really good strategies. Any other strategies, Chris, that can help people restart life after caregiving ends?
I think the another strategy, and maybe strategy is not the right word. It's on this comment. It's more of a self acceptance that life has changed. That there is recognizing your new normal, and when you get to that, when you're able to get to that point, then I think you can reflect and you can say, and you're from your caregiving experience, job well done. Now I can be as good a caregiver to myself as I was to my care partner, and I can explore all those areas in life that I've been wanting to while in the midst of caregiving, now that I have the time to do it.
I like that tip or strategy: self-acceptance that life has changed, and yes, recognizing your new normal. I like that you come back to that notion of, you know, things change and then you go back to a different normal, or that things really do change. They change for you, they change for your life, they change for the people around you. Now, let me ask you, Chris, how is your life now after caregiving has ended?
I'm happy to report that my life has, especially in the last year and a half, that my life is on the upswing. It's not that I have moved on from my grief. I've just adapted. I've accepted my new normal. I've looked at areas in my life that make me happy, things that I want to do and people that I want to be around and potential relationships that I want to pursue. And years ago, I wasn't in that space because I hadn't accepted my new normal. Mm-hmm. I wanted Richard back. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would have taken Richard back in his illness. Mm-hmm. And how unfair would that have been to him?
Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying, though, Chris, because we don't want things to change, whether we're caregiving or after caregiving ends or whatever area or life stage we're in. We really don't want things to change. People don't like change. Accepting change is hard.
Yeah,
we want it back to what it was.
You know, as hard as those last week, 6 weeks of Richard's life were, I was willing to go back to that because there was some comfort there because it was the way it was. But the reality is he's never coming back, but he's with me in a different way. And I've had to learn to love him in a different way. The love hasn't changed. In fact, the love for him has only gotten stronger. I just have needed to learn how to love him differently so that I can move on to my new normal and live life the way not only he would have wanted me to live, but the way I need to live, healthy, happy, progressive, looking forward, living in the moment, not living in the past. And sometimes, oftentimes, caregiving does that because we're so intent on caring for somebody else, we forget to care about ourselves.
Right. Absolutely. And I can understand why. You know, one of the things that I tell people, clients, in counseling or in coaching, is that there are many aspects to us as individuals. And when we focus on one aspect, so after caregiving ends, we might focus on our work identity. We might focus on a different family unit. We might focus on an activity that defines us. That doesn't mean that we lose the other identities. And just because change occurs and we change our focus or concentration doesn't mean that the other parts of us are lost. And so I encourage listeners as well to hear what you're saying, Chris. And that's what I hear when you're talking about self-care and focusing on yourself and caring about yourself. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, very much so. And if there was one bit of advice I could give to any caregiver out there, especially somebody who is just starting in their caregiving journey, is to learn early on that self-care is job number one for every caregiver. I didn't learn that early on, but if you can focus on that while in the midst of caregiving, then you do have to take care of yourself. I can pretty much guarantee that it's going to make caregiving going to make life after caregiving just a tad bit easier to adjust to because you've already been prepared to take better care of yourself.
And that's a really good tip, Chris, to even in the midst of caregiving, not forget about yourself, self-care, and that you and your health is so important. Because if you're not healthy and happy, then how can you care and be happy with other? So that's a really important thing that you're saying, a piece of advice for listeners. Now, let's talk about a controversial after caregiving ends area, and that's dating again. If you've been caring for a romantic partner, how do you recommend, or do you recommend, when do you recommend that people start dating again after caregiving?
I think with that, it's going to be different for everyone. But a couple of experiences that I have had that I had to be mindful of is if you're going to don't jump into something or jump into a relationship as a reaction to your loss mm-hmm. of the one that you're caring for. You don't try to replace the person that you lost, because those folk, that person is irreplaceable. You can, I've been asked many times, will you ever love again? And my response has been, I sure do hope so. And I know that I will. And I know that I have somebody that I'm very interested in right now. I know it's not going to be like Richard's and mine, because you can't replace that, but it can be just as good when you're open and in the right frame of mind to accept your new normal.
I like that piece of advice as well, Chris, that, you know, don't respond and react to your grief and replace that person with someone else. That's not fair to you as an individual, and that's not fair to someone else. And I do love your response to questions that you get about, will you ever love? Of course you will love again. Will it be different? Probably. Will it replace? Absolutely not. And so I think that is a wonderful piece of advice. So now we only have 2 minutes left, Chris. What's next for you, or any last messages or comments that you want listeners to know or understand about starting life again after caregiving?
I think the important message here would be, life after caregiving, it's like starting your second chapter. Caregiving has ended for no matter how difficult it is, the fact is that it has ended. And what's your second chapter? What's your second story? What's the next story you're going to be creating? And that's life after caregiving. You know, for me, I'm aging gayfully, and that's my second chapter. I'm creating a life to love after caregiving ends by aging gayfully and being mindful of what we had before, knowing that living in the day and in the moment is going to make the future better. Mm-hmm. Because my faith tells me I will see him again. My mind tells me he's forever pain-free. And my heart tells me he's standing right beside me. I can move forward and live in the day. Mm. And let go of the past in a positive and productive manner.
Oh, that's so optimistic and hopeful, and I love it. I just got chills throughout my body, Chris. And I know listeners as well, I mean, have to take a breath, hear what you said, and understand what you said. Thank you so much for joining us, Chris. I appreciate talking to you again, and I appreciate you being out there, being vulnerable, sharing parts of you with us again today.
It's my pleasure. I'm always available to visit with you, Dr. Terry.
Thank you. We will definitely have you on again, Chris, to hear the next chapter in your book. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Christopher McClellan, his blog, his book, or his podcast called Healing Ties, go to The Whole Care Network, all one word, thewholecarenetwork.com, or thepurplejacket.com. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.